You're listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. It is our desire that you will be helped by this Bible message.
Matthew chapter 21 this morning, we'll be reading verses 1 through 11 as we look into God's Word. The Bible says, beginning in verse number 1, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Sion, Behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put them on their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts from your word. I thank you for this Sunday as we celebrate and as we recognize Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ, our Savior, into Jerusalem. Lord, we also on this Sunday, we realize that within just a few days of that triumphal entry, the crowds would gather and they would cry out, Crucify him, crucify him. Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning. I pray that we would examine our own hearts and our own lives, and I pray that we would have the receptiveness, or the responsiveness that we need to have to Jesus Christ. I pray that we would let Jesus in. I pray that we would allow Jesus to sit on the throne. I pray if there's anyone here today that does not know Christ as Savior, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. I pray that today would be the day that they would receive the gift of eternal life. Lord, speak to our hearts, we pray. Give us what we need from your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. In Matthew 21, we find the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And what's so amazing about this account is that this is 1 week before the resurrection. So this is only days before the crucifixion. And Jesus is riding in to Jerusalem, and this is very, very important because Jesus was coming and he was entering, the Bible says, riding on a donkey. Now, that wouldn't be our choice for a mode of transportation, but that's what Jesus chose, and we'll see in a minute why. But as he's coming in, the people are taking their coats and their robes, and they're laying them on the ground for Jesus and for this donkey to walk upon. They're putting their coats on the back of the donkey so that Jesus can sit on that donkey. And as he's riding into Jerusalem, they are cheering. They are celebrating. They are saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And this is a pep rally. They are excited. They are thrilled. They are ecstatic. But you get down to verse number 15. The Bible says, when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. I want to ask you this morning, how will you receive Jesus? Isn't it amazing in the same story? There's a crowd that is so excited. They're so ecstatic. They are so thrilled because Jesus is coming and they cannot keep quiet. They are shouting for joy. And then there's another crowd. And by the way, it's the religious crowd. Do you notice that? The chief priests, the rulers, they're standing back and they're ticked off. Now, friend, I want to tell you, you have a choice this morning. You have a choice for how you will receive Jesus. Number one, you have a choice to receive Jesus for eternity, for salvation, to know for sure that you are on your way to heaven. And that's a one-time choice. If you've made that choice and you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life and you will never perish and nobody can pluck you out of the hand of the Father and you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, you are saved. And I thank God for that. But there's another choice that we make every day. It's a choice to receive Jesus and allow Him to be our King. To allow Him to be in control, to allow Him to have His way in our lives. And sometimes we stop with the first choice and we say, I'm saved and now I can do what I want to do. Well, friend, I want to tell you, if you've been saved and you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, there is much more to life than doing what you want to do. There's a better life. There's an abundant life. There's a joyful life. There's a victorious life that comes when you allow Jesus to be King. You say, why do we have to allow a King to be King? Isn't He King anyway? Oh, yeah, He's King. But the question is He your King? And Jesus is not going to force Himself upon you. And Jesus is not going to twist your arm. And Jesus is not going to grab you by the back of the neck. Jesus is King. But He is going to give you the choice to make Him your King and to make Him your Lord and to let Him have control in your life. I want you to notice quickly in this passage in Matthew 21, I want you to see the unfolding of this story. Number one, I see in these first few verses, I see that there was an assignment. Jesus told two of His disciples, He said in verse number 2, I want you to go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. Number one, I see the assignment. Now, Jesus tells these disciples, I want you to go, not in this village, but I want you to go into another village, and I want you to find a donkey that's tied up and a colt that's with her, and I want you to bring them to me. Now, do you have any questions about that? Because I do. I'm thinking, what if I were one of those disciples? I'd be saying, Jesus, excuse me? You want us to go steal a donkey? You want us to go steal a car? You want us to go steal a... I mean, whoa, they don't belong to us. And I imagine there were some questions about the assignment. I asked in the early service, and I won't tell you who, where, what, why, or when, but I've already had good feedback on this question. I said, have you ever had a boss that gave you an assignment at work that made no sense? And staff, church staff, please do not raise your hand on that. Please don't say amen. Start shouting, because you probably have. We know, just we don't want to bear, I don't want to get embarrassed in church. But have you ever had a boss that gave you an assignment and you thought, number one, the guy's crazy, or the lady's crazy, or number two, they know something I don't know, because that does not make any sense to me. How about this, students? We had two seniors in the early service, Cadence and Bladen. And I said, now, don't tell me now because you're so close to graduation, but I'm sure you've had a teacher at some point that gave you an assignment that you did not understand. As a matter of fact, you probably couldn't figure it out. As a matter of fact, you thought, this teacher has officially lost their mind. Now, anybody remember any assignments like that when you were in school? Anybody? I know it's been a long time for some of us, but you remember some of those? Okay. Oh, good. Well, I'm not the only one. Now, don't get yourself in trouble. If you have coworkers or if you have employers in the building, be real careful about this, but have you ever had a boss that maybe gave you an assignment you didn't understand? Keep your hand down, Brother Dan. Keep your hand down, Brother David. Brother Daniel, keep your hands down. All right. Okay, so a few of you know what I'm talking about. Can you imagine for these disciples? They're thinking, this doesn't make sense. Why would we do this? This would not be the thing I would choose to do. Well, friend, I want to tell you, Jesus is a teacher that never gives a bad assignment. Jesus is a teacher that always has a reason for the assignments that he gives us in our life. He is a boss. He is the leader that's not going to tell you to do something that's going to hurt you. Everything he gives you to do is for your good and for his glory. You don't have to understand it all. You just have to trust and obey. You see, sometimes you have the assignment. God has given us the assignment to study the scriptures and to study to show yourself approved and to read the Bible and to meditate on it and to memorize it. And sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes you think, the more I read the Bible, the less I know. You ever been there? The more you know, the more you realize how much you don't know. Sometimes you pray, and we're commanded to pray, and we're commanded to call unto God. And sometimes we pray, and it seems like the more we pray, the worse a situation gets. Sometimes you come to church to serve God and you just feel like, I can't keep going. Things are difficult. Things are hard. Sometimes you give your tithe or you give your offering or you give as God wants us to give, and you give and you say, wait a minute, I thought my finances were going to get better, but it seems like things are not good. And friend, I'm just telling you, sometimes there will be some assignments that you don't understand. I know there have been some assignments I didn't understand, but I'm glad I don't have to understand it. I just have to obey. I just have to do what God has told me to do. Quickly, number two, I see not only the assignment, but I see the answer. Jesus said to the disciples, probably knowing that they were already thinking, what in the world are you talking about? Jesus said in verse number 3, and if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. By the way, that's what happened. The owner comes out and he says to these disciples, excuse me, can I help you? What do you think you're doing? And you know what the disciples said? The Lord needs these donkeys. And the owner said, oh, why didn't you say so? Absolutely, be my guest. Do you need anything else? Because I want to tell you, God always has the answer. And God has given us an answer. You know what our answer is when people don't understand creation, when people don't understand salvation, when people don't understand the family, when people don't understand marriage, when people don't understand why we do what we do? Our answer is we go right back to this book right here, and we do it because God said so. We do it because that's what he said. And if that's what God said, that's enough for me. And friend, I don't have to understand it all. I don't have to have it all figured out. I just have to know that this is what God told me to do. I know we tell this to our children. We say, listen, you may not understand it. And we try to explain. And I know you, as a parent, you've done the same. You try to explain. But there's just some things that a child's not going to understand. But they just have to obey. And friend, as God's children, we must obey. We're not always going to understand it, but just do what God has said, because the Lord said so. The Lord hath need of them. Isn't that interesting that the word need is connected with the Lord? Because how many of you know that God doesn't need anything? He is the self-sufficient one. He is the self-existent one. And God does not need you, and God does not need me, but yet he says he does. You know why? Because he wants to use us. Jesus didn't need that donkey. Jesus didn't need that colt. By the way, Jesus didn't need those disciples, but Jesus chose to use them. I'm so glad to tell you, friend, that God, looking down from heaven, he saw something in us, and he said, I want to use them. I want to make them a part of my work. I want to use them to accomplish something great. And at the end of the day, we are worthless. We have nothing in ourselves. There's nothing good about us, but anything good in us is all because of him. And I'm glad that the Lord wants to use me, and he wants to use you. Isn't that a privilege? What a blessing. I see the answer. Number three, quickly, I see the accomplishment. And if you're getting excited because I'm going so fast through these points, hang on tight, okay? I got a long way to go, so don't put your shoes on yet. Number three, the accomplishment. It's found in verse 4. You see, this action of going and getting the donkeys and bringing them back for Jesus, that was to fulfill the scripture. Because in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, Zechariah said, "Behold, thy king cometh." And he cometh, and he's coming riding on a donkey, and he's coming into Jerusalem. And so what Jesus is saying here, by the way, this is exactly the way it was prophesied. This is exactly the way that God said it would be. And today, friend, I'm just here to remind you, you know this, but God always does what he says he will do. God always keeps his promise. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what it is in your life, but I think today would be a good day to start claiming some promises. I think today would be a good day to say, I'm going to call unto him. Today would be a good day to say, I'm going to trust him. Today would be a good day to say, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to put my confidence in God. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Let's claim some promises today. God did what he said he would do. Quickly, number four, I see an announcement. It says in verse number 5, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. We have an announcement. And the announcement is, we've got the good news that Jesus saves. We got the good news of the gospel. We've got the good news of the resurrection. We've got the good news that there is hope and there is help in God. And we've got an announcement. Somebody needs to open their mouth and share the good news. Boy, we're quick to share the bad news, aren't we? You tell somebody, now, I'm going to tell you something, but don't tell anybody. That's like saying sick 'em to a bulldog right there. You say, now, don't tell anybody. You know what's going to happen? That's going to travel real fast. And by the way, that all traveled fast before technology, and now it just travels even faster. But if you say, hey, I've got some good news, let's go tell everybody that Jesus Christ died and he was buried and he rose again, and we all sit there twiddling our thumbs. Friend, we got a message. We've got an announcement to tell the world about Jesus. Quickly, number 5, I see the authority. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh. I'm glad that he is the Savior, but he's also the king. He is the prophet, but he is the king. He is the priest, but he's also the king. I'm glad to tell you today that Jesus Christ is coming, and he is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. My question for you this morning, is he your king? Have you allowed him to be the king of your life? You say, yes. Pastor, I know he's the king, and I know that someday every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess. Wonderful. Has your knee bowed today? Has your tongue confessed today? Have you worshiped him today? I know it's Sunday, and you could say, well, yes. And by the way, I thank God that you're here. This is a great place to worship God, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful to come? You can stay home, and you can sing in your living room, but I'm just telling you, it's not going to sound as good as when you got the choir up here. It's not going to sound as good as when we got these piano players and organists and guitar players, and we've got the whole congregation. I'm glad we can worship the Lord on Sunday, but don't wait till next Sunday to worship him. Let's worship him. Let's honor him. Let's serve him. Let's make it evident that he is the king of our lives. Quickly, number 6, I see the arrival. Verse 5, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Now, this was prophecy of the first coming, when Jesus would come and he would be born in a manger and he would live on this earth, and then he would come into Jerusalem and prepare to die on a cross. This was prophecy of the first coming. But friend, I want to tell you, he's coming back. He's coming again. And Jesus Christ is coming. And when he comes back, I don't want to be surprised. I don't want to be caught off guard. I don't want to be ashamed. When he comes back, I want to be ready for his coming. You say, how can I be ready for his coming? You have to live every day as if this could be the day that Jesus returns. He's coming. Quickly, number 7, I see in this passage, verse number 5, I see the attitude. The Bible says, thy king cometh unto thee, verse number 5. Do you see that next word? The word meek. That's interesting. Because I know that we're supposed to be meek. The Bible says that though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:34, he giveth grace unto the lowly. The Bible says that we are to be humble in the sight of God because God resisteth the proud but giveth grace to the humble. But this verse doesn't say that we're supposed to be meek, although we are. This verse says that Jesus came in meekness and humility. What an example. If Jesus could come meek, I don't think we've got a good excuse why we can't be meek. If Jesus could humble himself, I don't think we have a good reason why we cannot humble ourselves. And Jesus came meek. You see, meekness is not weakness. I'm not recommending today that you go to work tomorrow and you be a doormat and let everybody walk all over you. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about being afraid to do your job or to stand up for yourself or to stand up for what's right or stand up. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about sometimes, if we're not careful, we get a spirit that we think we're better than everybody else. Please don't look at me like I'm the only one. Please don't leave me up here hanging by myself. Has anybody else ever struggled with an attitude of pride, or am I the only one? All right. Put your hands up. How many of you have struggled with lying before? No. I think we all have, right? I mean, I think we're not talking about anything revolutionary here. We all battle the old flesh. But sometimes if we're not careful, we get a spirit of pride. We think we deserve something. We think that we're entitled to something. We think that Jesus came and died because we deserve that. No, we deserve to die. We deserve to be on that cross. We deserve to be in a place called hell. But I'm glad that Jesus came, and because he came, because he died, because he paid our price, we can have eternal life in heaven. And I want to tell you, that shouldn't give us a spirit of pride, but that ought to give us a spirit of meekness and a spirit of humility. Jesus comes into Jerusalem in this passage. He is riding on a donkey. A donkey is a symbol of peace. And Jesus was coming into Jerusalem as the Prince of Peace. Friend, when Jesus comes the next time, he's not going to be coming riding on a donkey. Bible says in Revelation 19, he's coming riding on a white horse, and he's coming with his saints to rule and to reign and to conquer. And friend, I just want to tell you that Jesus came in peace. He came to bring peace for you and for me, to allow us to have peace with God. But if you don't accept that peace today, when Jesus comes back, he's not coming back for peace. He's coming back for judgment. And so today is the day. Now is the time to receive Jesus Christ and to receive that peace that is offered and to receive eternal life, the gift of God. Because if you don't receive it today, there may not be a tomorrow. There may not be a next time, but today is the day. I see quickly in verse number 8, I see the acceptance. Verse number 9, excuse me, the acceptance. They cried out when Jesus came, and they put the branches down and they put their coats down in verse number 9, and they cried out, Hosanna. They said, Hosanna, meaning save us. Save us now. You see, the Jews, they wanted somebody to deliver them from the Romans. I think they were expecting Jesus to take over. But I want to tell you, Jesus didn't come the first time to take over. He came the first time to die on an old rugged cross. And he came to save. And they're shouting out, Hosanna, we need you. We want you to help us. We want you to deliver us. They recognized him as the Messiah. They said, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, the Son of David, in John chapter 12. We see the palm branches signifying victory. We see the crowd accepted him. The crowd received him. The crowd was happy to see him. But notice, if you will, in verse number 10, and when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? The crowd cried, Hosanna. And the people on the outskirts, the people surrounding, the people in other places, they heard the commotion, and they were standing out saying, who is this man? And friend, that's a question that you've got to answer. You've got to figure out today, who is Jesus? And I'll tell you who he is. He's the one that loves you. He's the one that died for you. He's the one that wants to save you. He's the only one that can save you. And if you do not know who Jesus is, today would be a good day to find out. Today would be a great day to receive him as your Savior. Who is Jesus? He's the Savior of the world. But then I see quickly, number 9, I see there was an altercation. Jesus comes into the city. And in verse number 12, Jesus went into the temple. And the Bible says that he cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. The Bible tells us in this passage, and then also tells us in John at an earlier time, that Jesus marched into the temple. In John chapter 2, he had a whip. And he drove out all those money changers. He overturned the tables where they were selling sacrifices at a rate of 5, 10, sometimes 20% more, 5, 10, 20 times more than what the actual price was. These people were making money, and they were trying to benefit financially from people coming to worship God. And Jesus marches in and says, no more. We're not doing this. You say, who does Jesus think he is doing that? Well, it was his house. And friend, when it's your house, you get to decide what goes on in your house. And Jesus came into his house and he said, this is not supposed to be a den of thieves. This is supposed to be a house of prayer. I wonder, what has church become for you? You know, sometimes if we're not careful, church becomes a social gathering. And I'm all for the social aspect. We need God's people. But if the number one reason we come to church is just social, you're missing out on the spiritual. You're missing out on the blessings. You're missing out on the worship of God. And friend, I don't want church just to be something I do to see what I can get out of it. I want church to be something that I come and I do all I can to give worship and praise and glory to the Lord, because it is his house. Quickly, I see number 10, I see the anger. It's found in verse number 15. We read the verse. The Bible says that when the chief priests and the scribes, they saw all that Jesus did and they heard the people shouting, Hosanna, they were sore displeased. Can you imagine seeing people praise God? Seeing people, as it says in verse number 14, people getting healed. Seeing people worshiping the Lord, and can you imagine standing back and being upset about that? But I'll tell you what, if we're not careful, sometimes it's easy to become critical. Well, I wouldn't do it that way. Well, I don't know who they think they are. I don't know why those people think that they can, whatever. Hey, whoa, 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 hang on. How about we just get excited when God is worshiped? How about we just get excited when people get saved and when people get baptized and when buses run and missionaries go out and children come to Sunday school and children come to a Wednesday night program and we have a teen spectacular in the October and we have a kids crusade in the summer? And how about we just get excited that people are getting saved, that Jesus Christ is being glorified? Be careful or you'll become a professional critic. Always sitting back. Always analyze, well, I know why they did that. Well, I bet I... No. Hey, friend, let's not be upset when the work of God is going on. Let's be upset when it's not. Let's make sure that our attitude is one that is pleasing to the Lord. They displayed anger. Then lastly, and I'm done, number 11. That might be a record. 11 points and 3 hours, or however long we've been here. That was a joke. If it feels like 3 hours, I'm sorry. I know it hadn't been that long. But look at verse 14. This amazes me. Jesus has come in. They are praising him. They are applauding. They are shouting Hosanna. They're waving palm branches. He comes in to Jerusalem. Then he goes into the temple. And now, I mean, I imagine like an old Western here. I imagine this was a knockdown dragout. I imagine some heads were getting busted on this. Now, the Bible doesn't say that heads were getting busted. This is the Jeremy Coburnat version here, okay? But it says he drove them out. It says that he was flipping over their tables. I'll tell you one thing. Jesus was not a wimp. Jesus marched into that temple and Jesus cleaned house. Now, if I did that, and I'm not saying I have, I'm not saying I could, but if I did that, I think I'd be kind of staring some people down. Bring it on. Anybody else? Anybody else want? But notice what Jesus did in verse 14. He saw there were some people that were coming to him. They were blind. Couldn't see. There are some people that were lame that were coming, and I don't know if people carried them. I don't know if they were crawling to Jesus. I don't know how they were getting there, but it really doesn't matter how they got there. What's important is that they got to Jesus, and Jesus, in the midst of everything else that was going on, Hosanna! Praise the Lord! In spite of the money changers getting thrown out and the tables overturned, and in spite of the critics looking and saying, well, I don't know why they're doing that, Jesus notices some people that are hopeless and helpless. They're blind and they're lame. And Jesus stops to heal them. That is just like Jesus. To care about people that have no hope and they have no help and they have no way of helping themselves, but they just come to Jesus and say, Jesus, we can't do anything to help ourselves, but we know that you can help us. And he did. And friend, I want to tell you this morning, you may be here today and maybe on the outside everything looks good. Maybe you've tried to put yourself together to come to church today, but maybe on the inside you say, I need some help. I'm going through some things that I just can't figure out and I just can't deal with and I can't seem to get the answer. Well, I want to tell you, I don't have the answer for you. The person sitting next to you doesn't have the answer for you, but I know Jesus does have the answer. And you can cast all of your care upon him. You know why? Because he cares about you. I'm glad that Jesus cares for me.
Thank you for listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Coburnack. For more information about our ministry, please visit our website at vbcrr.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.